Call 969-10 minutes after 7 o'clock. We'll go to the phone lines.
And Dr. Walter Korshet, Deputy Director of the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke, is here with us today. May is National Stroke Awareness Month, and Dr. Korshet is here to help us understand the symptoms of stroke and what we can do to perhaps save lives. Good morning, sir. Welcome to News Talk 96.9.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, let's start with the basics. What is a stroke?
Well, a stroke is basically a sudden problem that occurs in the brain due to either a blockage of a blood vessel or the break of a blood vessel causing bleeding into the brain. So there's these two types of stroke. The one that's a blockage is, it's usually what happens is you have blood going to the brain and all of a sudden the clot forms, blocks the blood flow, blocks the blood vessel, and the blood can't get past that. And so the brain, therefore, is just not getting the blood it needs. The brain is an incredibly active organ, the most active organ in the body, so it really needs that blood supply. And then within minutes to hours, the brain cells start to die, and that's what a stroke is due to a blockage. A stroke due to a hemorrhage is when a blood vessel bursts in the brain, and that's an equally bad thing. The brain, as everybody knows, is inside the skull, so there's really not much room for anything else. So when bleeding occurs into the brain, the pressure builds up, and that can lead to some real serious brain damage as well. So those are the two major types of stroke.
Is either of those types worse than the other?
Well, I guess what happens in a stroke depends a little bit on how big it is and where it occurs. So in terms of those types, I mean, you could have a small bleed in an area that's not critical to your function and you'll do fine. Even a larger bleed in that area, you'll do fine. There are some areas of the brain, even a small bit of bleeding or a small ischemic stroke is in such critical areas that you can't survive it. So it's a matter of size but also location in terms of what happens to people after they have a stroke. Because basically the way to think about it is the brain has all these functions that are localized, and so what happens to a person depends on the location and how much damage there is, how much of the location is damaged that are real important to function.
I understand that 780,000 people in the U.S. each year are affected by stroke, and that stroke is the third leading cause of death for all Americans. Is stroke something that can be prevented, like heart disease, with diet and exercise, or is this just kind of a you spin your wheel and take the chances?
Well, I think that there is a great deal that people can do to prevent stroke. And as you mentioned, you know, is it like heart attack? And the answer is, in many cases, the risk factors for stroke are very similar to the risk factors for heart attack, particularly for the strokes that are due to high blood pressure. High blood pressure is a major risk factor for stroke, and it's a risk factor for both the strokes that are due to bleeding into the brain as well as the strokes that are due to blockage of blood vessels. I mean, the way to think about blood pressure is it's a wear and tear on the arteries. You know, every single pulse is just pushing the blood into those arteries and stretching them, and with high blood pressure, it just increases the wear and tear, and that weakens the blood vessels, and sometimes they'll break and bleed due to the high blood pressure. Most commonly, what happens is the wear and tear just causes the blood vessels to get sicker and they get narrower, and then you get one of these problems of the blockage of the blood vessel. And so hypertension is really a critical factor. And that's the same thing for heart attack, because in heart attack, the cause is usually the same as what we talked about for that stroke due to a blockage. In heart attack, it's a blockage in the blood vessel in the heart. In stroke, it's a blockage in the blood vessel to the brain. But very similar risk factors go in. So hypertension, the main thing. If you don't know your blood pressure, get it checked. If it's high, work with your doctor to try and get it under control. It's a really worthy investment. The other things are very similar with heart attack. You know, the chances go up if you have diabetes. So getting blood sugar under control, trying to prevent diabetes is very important. The best thing you can do there is exercise. Keeping your weight down is the best thing you can do to kind of prevent that type 2 diabetes. And also that decreases the risk of stroke and the risk of heart attack. So that's something you can do. It's the healthy lifestyle. There's lots of different reasons for embarking on that now. You know, stroke, heart attack. You know, even the studies now claiming that you're less chance of cognitive impairment as you get older is with exercise. So lots of reasons to do that. And smoking is the other big one. Smoking increases your stroke risk by twofold. And then cholesterol, which you hear about all the time in terms of heart attack, is similarly going to increase the risk for stroke. So all those factors I talked about, they're going to help you both reduce your risk of stroke and heart attack.
Is there such a thing as a precursor to stroke that you can recognize and head it off at the pass before it happens, or is this something that just happens so suddenly there's no way to predict when a stroke is going to hit?
Well, there actually is a warning sign of stroke. That's what we call a transient ischemic attack. So I think the message to get across to people is that what people have to learn is the warning signs of stroke. So we talked a little bit about heart attack, and I think we all understand that you have chest pain, there could be a heart attack, you got to get to a hospital fast, you'll potentially save your life. So call 911, get to a hospital. As we're talking, stroke is very similar, and similarly, you got to get to a hospital quickly if you have either a warning sign or the early signs of stroke. And the signs of a stroke and the signs of the warning signs, they're identical. So the key thing for people to know is that in a stroke, all of a sudden, the brain stops working. And depending on that location area, you're going to get a different symptom. And that's why it's a little trickier than heart attack, because it's pretty much chest pain, pain going down the left arm. In stroke, depending on what area the brain's being affected, you might get a different symptom. So the messaging is a little harder, but it's that sudden onset of something going wrong. So suddenly you can't move your arm, or suddenly your whole side of your body is numb, or suddenly you can't get your words out and you don't understand what people are saying, or suddenly you can't see out of one eye, or suddenly you all of a sudden can't walk and you're dizzy and you're going to fall over, or a sudden severe headache. The headache that we get when the bleeding occurs around the brain, it's basically the worst headache you could ever imagine. You never had one so bad, and it comes on in a split second. So it's really, there are some of these things, it's a sudden onset that's very characteristic. And these are the warning signs. So sudden numbness, weakness, sudden confusion, sudden trouble seeing, sudden trouble walking, sudden severe headache. Those are the kind of things you got to call 911 and get into the hospital, because those are the signs of stroke. And in terms of warning, you mentioned warning, and basically with a warning, it's those same signs, but they don't last very long. So you may have a blockage, a problem with your blood vessel, for instance, and all of a sudden you can't talk, and you feel really nervous. 3 minutes later you're talking fine. That's a warning sign. The problem is when that happens to people, they get very nervous when it happens. When it goes away, they say, boy, I'm glad that went away, and they don't do anything about it. And that's the real problem, that we really have to get the message out about what these warning signs are to get people to seek attention. Because if you have a warning sign like that, all of a sudden you can't talk, 3 minutes, comes back, your chance of stroke in the next 3 weeks are about 35%, about a 35% chance of a major stroke. And with a major stroke, if it affects your speech area, you may never talk again, and that's terrible. So learning these warning signs is really important. And if you have them, the best thing is to get into call 911 and get into a hospital.
Well, now some of that happens around here all the time. unable to talk and in complete thought. Hey, so when I'm walking down the hall at the courthouse and I get this hot spot in my head that stops me for a minute. And I jokingly say, "Hey, wait a minute! I'm having a little stroke," and I stop because it's just hot, and then it goes away in about 2 or 3 minutes. And I keep going. I may not be kidding.
Well, I'm sure you're not kidding, but that would not be a stroke. So, and that's the trick that we have to, we have to try and get. That's why the message is so tricky. If you're walking in the courthouse and you get a hot feeling on the head, that would not be related to a stroke. I can't imagine, but. If you walk in the courthouse and your friend says, how you doing? And you said, and no words are coming out, and you're trying as hard as you can and just nothing's coming out, that's a sign of a stroke.
Oh, my gosh, J.R., you've been having a stroke every day about this time for the last 3 years.
Well, see, it's not concerned. In fact, anytime you talk to a lawyer, you got to measure what you're going to say.
That's right.
Now, Dr. Korshetz, I suffer from migraine headache, and I've had migraines that came on so suddenly and so severely that I've gone to the emergency room, and they've run CT scans and MRIs, fearing that I might be in the middle of a stroke right then. Is it harder for some patients, especially, say, migraine sufferers, to recognize the symptoms of stroke than other patients?
Well, you actually hit the nail on the head there, and that is a very difficult diagnosis sometimes to make, because, as you said, with migraine you can get this headache. And if it's a very sudden onset, this thunderclap headache, then it's really hard to know whether that's due to bleeding in the brain or whether it's due to a migraine. Now, the good news, I wouldn't say good, but the thing that's to know is that, in generally, most people with migraine, the headache has a buildup. So there are some people who have this sudden onset headache, we call thunderclap headache with migraine, but that's not the most common. The most common one is it starts and it kind of builds up, so that's usually not a stroke. And if you had a history of a headache and it's very similar to the one you had in the past, then and you have migraine, that's kind of the thing that you have to feel safe that it's the same thing you've had before, and that's why you know it's just not a stroke. But sometimes, as you said, the only way you can figure it out is to get a scan to make sure there's not bleeding when you have these sudden onset headaches. The other thing with migraine, people will actually have numbness come on. They'll have speech difficulties. So they can really mimic the signs of a stroke because of these accompaniments of migraine that are tricky. And I think, honestly, the only way you can tell is if you've had many before and they're all the same, and you know it's migraine, then that's your migraine. The trouble is, if someone has migraine and then they have a stroke, it's a very confusing issue, and that's a diagnostic dilemma where the doctors sometimes really have to rely on the scan to show the stroke. The good news is that the scans are actually quite good now at nailing that down, and I think that's a major advance in the last 10 or 20 years. Before that, it was really guesswork, and I must say sometimes we just guessed wrong. But that can be a tricky situation. Luckily, it's not that common, but it does warrant attention. So it's a good thing you pointed it out.
Hey, there's these 18-wheeler X-ray lab things that drive all over the country, and for $129 they'll do a whole bunch of scans on you. Is that a pretty good investment?
Well, I think you're out of my pay grade there.
Okay.
But I would say, I think those are the kind of conversations you have with your doctor, right? So it's a matter of, so the question is, should you be screened? And this is a big question in medicine right now. Now you have all this technology, the question is, should everybody have scans and know what they have? And the issues with that are a little bit complicated. A lot of these scans, they involve X-rays, so the X-rays are not completely benign. So they're fine if you have a good reason to have it done, but it's not the kind of thing you want to do if there's really no benefit. So it really depends on where your risk is. So, if you're 25 years old, no family history of a problem, I'd say it's clearly not the kind of thing you want to do. But as you get to be 50 or 60, I think the discussion with your doctor is going to be, should I have, the carotid artery, which is the artery that goes up to the brain, very frequently involved with atherosclerosis. So a conversation with your doctor, do I have the risk factors? Is it worthwhile for me to get, it's usually an ultrasound, so it's a sound wave test, very, very safe test to look at my carotid artery going to my brain to see if it has a buildup of atherosclerosis. And I think if, my patients, if they have high blood pressure, if they have a family history of stroke, then, when they get into their 50s, late 50s, early 60s, it's something I would do to check on that. So I think that's a conversation you have with your doctor.
How often are strokes discovered by family members and loved ones? I have a friend whose wife had a stroke. They were taking a walk, and all of a sudden she just stopped. She had no idea anything was going on with her. He was the one that realized that something was wrong.
Right. It's a very, very important point that because a stroke affects the brain and your ability to understand what's wrong with you depends on how your brain is functioning, there are some strokes that occur in regions that prevent you from understanding what's happening. And sometimes it's quite dramatic. So there are people who are paralyzed and have no idea they're paralyzed because that part of the brain that tells you that you're not moving is not working. And so that's very, very common, especially when it affects the right side of the brain. In most right-handed people, the right part of the brain is involved in your self-awareness. And if you have a stroke there, you may have no idea there's anything wrong with you and be completely paralyzed. Have you seen people, you know, get up and they half-dress themselves on the bed and they don't realize that, you know, the other half is, they can't feel it, they can't move it. So there are some very strange things. But I think it gets to the other point, which is this message about stroke, it's not enough to tell the person who, you know, you have to tell everybody because the person at risk, it may be his wife or her husband that is the one who recognizes it, or it might be the kids. So I can tell you that in my life, I've seen patients, and it's the kid, you know, the 6 or 7-year-old kid who noticed that there was a problem and called 911. So it can getting this message out to all age groups is real important. You know, it may help your grandfather, your father, your mother. You just can't tell.
You hear these rules of thumb every once in a while. If you try to smile and only one side of your face goes up, or if you stick your tongue out and it goes to one side or the other, if you smell burning toast, it means you're having a stroke. How reliable are some of these, and should we pay attention to those?
Well, the one you mentioned was the face weakness. That's not uncommon, that all of a sudden you can't move your face. But it's pretty dramatic. So it's not something you usually have. The good news about stroke is that usually it's so dramatic that you don't have to kind of obsess about whether there's something wrong. It's pretty obvious there's something wrong. The problem is that people don't react fast enough. And then these warning signs of stroke, you have these symptoms, they stay for 2 or 3 minutes. You're real nervous for 2, 3 minutes. When it goes away, you feel, boy, I'm glad that's over with. You don't do anything about it. So I think that I don't think we have to have people, you know, get obsessing about examining themselves for signs of stroke. When a stroke comes, it's pretty obvious. The issue is, you know, do people take the right action?
And the long and short of that is you've got about an hour to get to the hospital and get something done before there's some permanent damage, right?
Well, yeah, that's variable. And the issue is that for instance, if you have a blockage in the blood vessel, the brain doesn't get enough blood and the brain cells start to die off. So basically it's like as fast as you can, you want to get that blood clot taken care of. What we do know is that the medicine that we use in these trials, as you get past, you know, if you don't have the medicine in you within 3 hours, then the effects start to disappear. So that's in a population of, you know, thousands of people. The average person, you got to get this in you within 3 hours. But the sooner the better. I mean, 1 hour is better than 3 hours. So you have to work really fast.
All right.
And then after 6 hours, sometimes it just doesn't work at all.
We've been talking to Dr. Walter Koroshetz. He's Deputy Director of the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke. Are there other resources that you would direct us to on the web, sir?
Yeah, I think, you know, we love to get this message out. I think it can really help people. And we have a lot of good material here at National Institute of Health. It's on our website. It's www.stroke.nih.gov. And I think there are things that, you know, we've really put a lot of attention to try and make the message clear and concise and things that people can remember, because we think it's a life-saving message. And I really appreciate talking to your audience today, and hope no one has a stroke, but I think hopefully now they're much more prepared to act if there's any warning or if they see somebody who looks like they're having some problem there.
Dr. Koroshetz, thanks for joining us today and sharing this important information.
My pleasure. Take care now.